Hello.
This is Dr. Chid. That's Data Prince Alex. This is the Blue Collar Dynasty podcast.
We're busting our backs, getting our jeans dirty, and playing next man up dynasty football. We're giving you an in the trenches dynasty talk every week. Please reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter. Follow and message us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen.
It's no longer called Twitter. It's called X.
I don't know what that is. I'm going to X you.
So that's funny. Hey, y'all, if we sound a little bit different, it's because, you know, Blue Collar Dynasty, you know, we out here working. You know, we're doing things. And we've been trying to do this podcast on a timely basis at home, you know, even though we got family, things like that. And, you know, it's been a little bit hard. Commute from work for us is a little long. So we decided we just got to do the podcast while driving. All right. So we in the streets, we working, we driving, and we trying to do this, trying to get y'all this information. So this week we are talking two truths and a lie. All right. We're also talking mid-season trade frenzy, starts of the week. All right, so let's get to it. All right, we'll talk about truths and lies. This one's real simple. Three statements are going to be made. All right. In those three statements, we're going to, based on our opinion alone, we're going to say what we think will be true, what we think will be completely false. That's what we're trying to achieve here. All right. So, Data Prince, you want to start?
Yeah, I'll read them off and then how about you react first and then I'll react.
That sounds good.
All right. The first one, Devonta Smith, who is currently wide receiver 25, ends the season as wide receiver 12 or higher. That's statement one. Okay. Joe Burrow comes back enough to be a top six quarterback rest of the season. That's statement two. And Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert are top 12 RBs at the end of the year. Keep in mind, Devon Achane just went out on short-term IR. So he'll be out for, I believe, four games. So worth keeping that in mind. So those are our three statements. Devonta Smith, top 12 or higher. Joe Burrow, top six or higher. And Achane and Mostert, both top 12. What is the truth? What is the lie? What is the other truth?
To me, there's really two lies and one truth in there. But my lie is going to be Devon Achane and Mostert being top 12. You said 12, right? Running backs?
Yep.
Running back duo? Mainly because Achane got injured. I don't know how he can make that up in 4 weeks, like losing 4 weeks. And the fifth week is really going to be like, let's kind of get you back into the flow situation if he does get back in the fifth week. So I think there's just too much in the air for that. Because at that point, half the season's over, right? So it's almost like he's restarting the season after that injury.
Yeah.
And then what's it called? The next one I'm thinking is, so that's going to be the lie. Then the truth. Joe Burrow being top six, I'll be honest, that would have been my lie without the injury of Achane, just because of what the Bengals are playing this year. I know they had a really good week last week, but I feel like that might be a one-off. And then, what's it called? But I feel like with Devonta Smith, the Eagles will find balance in that offense. They're going to have to, because they can't have one side. They can't be too heavy on one side and not have a balance on the other side. Both, everyone has to be a threat. So I feel like Devontae and AJ are going to have to find that balance. When they find that balance, I think Devontae will be a top 12 receiver. And the Eagles' offense hasn't fully clicked yet. And they're going to also have to find a way to get off like the brotherly push, because I feel like people are complaining so much about it. Next year, they're going to be trying to pull away from it, potentially. So you might as well start preparing for that this year. Just my thoughts.
Yeah, I think the lie to me is Joe Burrow. I think that's the least likely. He's currently doubled up by Justin Fields in terms of points, and Justin Fields is at number 10. So, I don't know that he can make up that much ground on that many quarterbacks to be able to have a top top six campaign, you know. Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert are currently RB2 and 3 on the season. So they both already have 100 points in the bank. So I would say, based on that and the 2022 numbers, where top 12, you had to have 233 points. We just need them to basically double what they've already done. And we're only 5 weeks in. So they could do that. I think with what Achane has been doing, I think that's in the realm of possibilities more so than Joe Burrow, in my mind.
That makes sense.
And Devonta Smith, I think you're right. He comes back.
Yep. And it was funny, interesting, because the way you analyzed it, you used the data well. Right? I never even think about looking at the data in order to make those decisions. I'm like, I'm going to just do it by my gut feeling.
Well, and I think it's the 80-20 rule, right? Sometimes when you look at the data, that's the extra 20%. 80% will get you, or 20% will get you 80% of the way. You know, 20% of the effort gets you 80% of the way. And then the extra 80% of the effort looking at the data gets you the extra 20%, theoretically.
That's true. So that's good. I'm learning a lot from you this way. All right, let's keep going. What's the next one?
All right, next one. Statement one. Puka Nacua finishes as a top 12 wide receiver. George Pickens finishes as a top 12 wide receiver. Or Nico Collins finishes as a top 12 wide receiver. And I will say, for reference, Puka Nacua is currently wide receiver 6. Nico Collins currently wide receiver 9. And George Pickens currently wide receiver 12. So they're all in the top 12 currently. Which falls out?
Pickens is a lie. I don't trust that offense. I don't trust Matt Canada. I don't know. I don't trust the Steelers to be anything prolific. Even though historically their receivers have been prolific, right? Without a doubt.
Yep.
But his offense is not prolific. So for me, you know, just it's not enough for me to say, yeah, it's going to be top 12 this year. I can see top 20 for sure, but top 12, I don't know about that. Nico Collins, the way they're playing in Houston, it's weird because it's really like a rookie team, but they're playing with such passion and such heart and freedom. They're playing with a lot of freedom too. And I think that's going to translate well in that regards. And then lastly, Puka Nacua, like, that guy has been amazing all year, and I don't think there's going to be any drop-off. So I feel like Van was a sure bet. It's him versus anybody else. But, yeah, that's my thoughts. So Pickens a lot. I know you love Pickens, though.
Yeah. I just think he's got too much of a place on this offense. I mean, you're talking the last 5 weeks, he's had no less than 6 targets. Compare that to the other two guys. You know, Nico Collins has a game with 3 targets, a game with 4 targets. And Puka Nacua, you know, has only had 1 game with Cooper Kupp. Now, that game was 11 targets. So I think you're right. Puka Nacua is the guy. You know, he's going to definitely stick. He would be my top pick here. He was looking at about 20 targets in some games before Cooper Kupp came back. So for me, it's Nico Collins. I think that there's a lot of mouths that CJ Stroud is going to try to feed the ball to. And I think,
Tank Dell, right?
Yeah, they've got Tank Dell and they've got a few other guys there. Robert Woods, of course, too. I think there's other relevant players there. Whereas George Pickens seems like he's on an island and they're moving the offense through him. So if they can be more efficient, I think he's more of a riser in this case than a faller.
Interesting. So your truth is going to be Pickens and Nacua.
Puka, yeah. All right, exercise three. Statement one, Zach Moss will be irrelevant the rest of the season. Breece Hall will be a top five running back, and Najee Harris isn't startable for the rest of the season. Two truths and a lie.
Oh, that's a tough one. That's a tough one. Zach Moss being irrelevant, I don't see that.
It, and for reference, he's currently the RB4 on the year.
Exactly. Like, I don't see that. And
so,
then,
so remember, too, what's his face just came back.
Taylor's back, I know, and he's trying to make his contract. But it's like, just don't see it. I don't see them having those two options and not, and then, yeah, no, that's not gonna be a truth for me. That's a lie.
Okay.
You said that was, you said it was, you put him in a negative tense, right? Negative sense, right? And he's not gonna do anything, right?
He's going to be irrelevant, which really I would say, you know, I didn't really put measurable stats on Zach Moss or Najee Harris, but basically that they're the same statement, that you shouldn't be starting Zach Moss for the rest of the season. So, and or Najee Harris. So what that would mean is like, basically they're going to have under 10 points.
Yeah.
Per game.
And I believe the Najee Harris one is the truth as well. I feel like he's just not clicking in the offense. It's weird, but he's not. And so for me, I think that's going to be a truth as well. Then the other one was
Breece Hall is a top
Breece
five
Hall.
running back.
I feel like he could do it too. So, but that's going to be a lie. That's a lie. I believe more in the other two than that one, I guess. So yeah, that's a lie.
So you're saying Breece Hall will not be a top five running back?
No, he'll be top three.
Still top five, buddy.
He'll be top six. That's what I believe.
Yeah. Yeah. As much as I love Najee Harris coming in this year, the offensive line has really failed them. And I don't see him coming out of this phase anytime soon. You look at his matchups, he's still got 3 weeks of bad matchups. And then he's got a really nice roll of green, except for week 10, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, all really good matchups. And he's only had two good matchups so far this year, in week 3 and 4, and the highest point total he got in either of those weeks was 12.2 points. So really disappointing. I do think that he is startable, though, and I also think that Zach Moss, you know, I want to say Zach Moss won't be startable the rest of the season, but that's my Bills bias. You know, I,
'cause that was your player.
He was our player, and he didn't do anything. He wasn't good. He was a downhill runner that couldn't run downhill. So, I mean, to see what he's become has been awesome. That's great. I'm happy for him. But I don't believe in his talent. And yet, I also have to say he's going to have some good games the rest of the season. So I would agree with you, Breece Hall being a top five running back rest of the season, or top five running back on the season, is my lie, though I don't like it either. Just like you, he's running back 17 right now, and he has only two bad matchups from here to week 16. I don't know how that doesn't happen. Where, like, how is he not a top five? So, you know, I'm gonna bet on talent. I'm gonna say Zach Moss is the lie. That's final answer. Zach Moss.
Okay.
Wait, I don't know what I'm talking about. I can say that. Yeah, Zach Moss is the lie. Zach Moss will be relevant. I don't know what you were saying. That you were saying that Zach Moss was the lie as well.
Yeah. I was saying that, like, that's not gonna happen.
Yeah. So you do believe in Breece Hall. Yeah. There you go. That's how we hacked the system. Zach Moss will be relevant, and Breece Hall will be top five running back, and Najee Harris is not startable the rest of the season. Nailed it.
Like
stuck
it.
The landing. All right, last exercise here. First statement, Sam Laporta and Travis Kelce will finish within 20 points of each other. Currently, they're 1 and 2 at the tight end position, and currently they are within 20 points of each other. Sam Laporta is currently leading by about 7 points. And then Darren Waller is a top five tight end rest of season. Yep. Brock Purdy will finish with double the fantasy points of Geno Smith.
Damn, you really know how to you really know how to mess with me.
Got him.
Oh my god, that is hilarious. Oh man. Hey, you're good. You are good.
I saved this one for last just to really get into your get under your skin.
Oh man, that is hilarious. All right, that was good. That is so good. All right, so Darren Waller top five? No. That's a lie. So the other ones are truths.
I can't wait until we get to your start of the week.
you put me in a tough position here. Well, I mean, my choice.
So just for reference too, Brock Purdy currently has 111 points and Geno Smith has 60 points. So it's really close. He's only like 9 points away from doubling up Geno Smith.
Yeah, I get to him.
Yep. Yep. I'm going to go with, I definitely believe in Sam Laporta and Travis Kelce. I think I just put this one in there to say Sam Laporta is awesome, and I'm so excited to see what he can do for us the rest of the season.
Lions, right?
What's that?
No, he's on the Bills.
No, Sam Laporta is on the Lions. Yep.
That's what I thought. Okay. It's like, all right, good. So I was tripping.
Yep. Yep.
You have Kincaid. That's who you picked up.
Yep. That's who we have. I do believe in Darren Waller enough to say that he's going to be a top five. He's currently the 12th best tight end on the year. It doesn't take much to be a good tight end. And he's got at least 6 good matchups coming up. And I think that in 2 of those bad matchups or okay matchups are Washington. So I think that's enough to be able to do some damage. And I think he's going to have some a bounce back the rest of the year. He hasn't been bad. He's had 2 decent games and 3 games that you weren't super excited about. So I think the Brock Purdy, you know, my man, Geno Smith will not allow Brock Purdy to double him up in fantasy points. So that's the lie for me. Don't worry. I will support Geno Smith.
Thank you. That's funny.
All right. Let's go to our week 6 starts of the week. But first we have to stop in on our week 5 guys. I'll read off how we did. Don't worry. You're driving. I'm home, so I can read. Keep your eyes on the road. So you chose at quarterback Sam Howell versus the Bears. He did great. I just traded for him. I'm happy with that.
You want to? I'll trade you for him. Who do you want to give me?
I need him for week 13, man. That's all I got him for. Well, Andy's good. That too. Running back, you chose Devon Achane versus the Giants. He did great. It was early. And I let you have that one. That was a good pick. Probably a little bit of an easy touch pass there. But yeah, you took it and ran with it and won it, and now he's gone. So look at what you did. wide receiver, you chose Tank Dell, and he was only okay. So that was actually kind of a gimme. And again, he was kind of just okay. Tight end Ferguson versus 49ers, not great. You should have known better starting somebody against the 49ers, but, you know.
No,
live and
no.
learn.
If that bum had caught a couple more passes, it would have been good. Right? Like, he dropped some. I'm like, oh, my God. Like, I seen the dude before, but I didn't think it was like a – I didn't think he was a habitual pass dropper. Goodness gracious. Like, this guy –
I will say the 49ers aren't actually all that great against the tight end. So, it's not as horrible. As, yeah. Lions versus the Panthers defense. That was okay. Brandon Aubrey was only okay against the 49ers. Again, you started two guys against the 49ers. Not what I would do, but you won with 3 points. I had -2. So not good. Jordan Love versus Las Vegas was bad. He did not help me.
I watched that.
Jaleel McLaughlin versus New York Jets. He was good. That did help me. That was probably one of my better selections. Alan Lazard versus Denver. I don't know what made me do that, but that was not great. Durham Smythe. Don't worry, I lived this one at tight end versus the Giants. He was bad. Don't do that. Not worth it. I don't know why I lived that.
Tight ends, when it's going to be a tough defensive matchup, they're like safety blankets. So I was like, but if I'm about to smack this team, I'm not looking at my tight end for anything. I don't need go block because I'm going deep.
yeah, that's fair. That's fair. Defense Houston versus Atlanta. Okay. Houston's defense is kind of now playable. Jake Elliott versus Los Angeles Rams. He was great. So my kicker kind of saved me from an embarrassing -4. So thank you, Jake Elliott.
You're welcome.
Are you Jake Elliott? Are you my Jakey?
I'm just telling you what the Eagles are thinking.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Flying.
All right, let's get to our week 6 guys. Chip, you want me to read through yours?
Yep. Well, I think I remember them.
Okay. Let's hear it.
Quarterback, you know who I pick. You know, I did it based off of the points this week, the projections, and he's not that high. But I want to pick Geno. All right.
And
last time
versus...
he was out, that's versus Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Last time he was out, you know, the Giants kind of try to injure him. I think he's gonna have something to do. This week, where he's gonna like kind of get his frustrations out by throwing touchdowns after touchdowns, he just throw with the arms. That's what I see. All right, next one. My running back, the one that I chose this week was I forgot. Tyler Allgeier, Falcons versus I forget who they're playing.
Washington.
You're right. Allgeier versus Washington. I'm not a big believer in that one, but I had to choose somebody. All right, next one. Next one, wide receiver. I chose
former number one overall wide receiver.
Did I pick Smith? No, I didn't pick Smith.
No, Michael Thomas versus Houston.
Michael Thomas versus Houston. Yes, that's who I picked. So that'd be interesting. I want to see what happens there. If he does anything there. Also, not a big believer in that one, but he's been consistent as data first told me. Kicker, is that next? Or tight end? Tight end, I picked Hunter Henry. I like him.
Yeah, and that was versus Las Vegas.
Yes, and then kicker, we got Sanders. No, not Sanders. Myers. I picked Jason Myers.
No, you didn't. Jake Moody
Seattle, right?
versus Cleveland.
Oh, that's really?
You at defense. Defense, you. I can't just do this for you. You are driving.
I don't remember if it's what I did. I'm like, I pick.
So defense is Seattle versus Cincinnati. So you doubled up against Cincinnati.
I don't trust them.
Yeah.
And I hope I
good luck with that. All right. At quarterback, I selected Matthew Stafford versus Arizona.
I feel this is a little bit cheating, but I'll let you have it.
Yeah.
Have last one.
I took the 13th guy on the list, so that was Yeah, this is But he's a pocket passer, so he doesn't have that rushing floor where it's
He has
really safe.
Puka going out there and doing work.
That's fair. Well, and now he's got Cooper Kupp too.
Look, I just feel like this is cheating, but you can have it. You let me have 18. Let's see what happens.
Okay. I feel like it's now or never for Zach Charbonnet, so I'm going to get on a soapbox for him this week and choose Zach Charbonnet against Cincinnati. So we've got three people in the Cincinnati, all going against Cincinnati this week. Three Seattle people. Interesting. Wide receiver KJ Osborne versus Chicago. This is because Justin Jefferson went down, and so they're going to need KJ Osborne big time. I don't know if anybody paid attention to what Tyler Conklin did, but he scored over 10 points last week for the New York Jets at tight end. And I want you to start him again versus Philadelphia, who, again, is not all that great against the tight end.
I have him on my team.
Do you? No?
I don't think so. I can check.
Oh, I was just saying the general you, the royal you.
gotcha.
Yeah. You have Hunter Henry though, so you could start your own start of the week at tight end.
I don't even look. That Patriots offense looks abysmal.
I thought you wanted to start Hunter Henry this week.
I was forced to choose somebody, and I chose.
Got it. All right. Well, my defense. I don't feel so good about. New Orleans versus Houston. Houston could put up some real good numbers against New Orleans, but I'm just going to say that we've seen a lot of good out of CJ Stroud. I think we have his first bad game here against New Orleans. It doesn't change my opinion of him, but I do think he gets punched in the mouth here.
Are they at New Orleans?
That's a very, very good question. I'm going to stall for a second to try to figure that out. Yes, I'm answering things too quick. At Houston. So they're home.
I don't know about that one.
Yeah. We'll see. Kicker Brett Maher. That's a Los Angeles Rams kicker versus Arizona. So that's my lineup for the week. All right. Our last segment here. We've got to choose. No.
it's a trade frenzy.
Yeah. Our last segment here is the midseason trade frenzy. So I don't know if you guys have noticed in your leagues, but I've noticed in my leagues, all of a sudden everyone's trading players, and it is that time of year. We've seen enough to feel like we're confident that we know who each of these players are. And I will tell you that pretty much all of us are going to be wrong. So let's try to straighten ourselves out here. We're gonna start at the quarterback position, and this first guy, what would you say you want to do with a quarterback over the last or over the first 5 weeks of the season has only been outside of the QB10 once. He's been quarterback 2, 4, 9, 10, and he had one game where he was the quarterback 22. What do you do? And he's 35 years old, okay?
Kirk Cousins.
What's that?
That sounds like Kirk Cousins.
It is Kirk Cousins. Good job. At 35 years old, what are you doing with this quarterback in fantasy? What is his value to you? Probably a good place to start is picks. Would you give up Kirk Cousins for a second round pick?
Yeah, I would.
So you'd take a, if I sent you a second rounder, you'd give me Kirk Cousins in exchange.
Probably a second round. If you give me a second rounder and another asset like a player, I think I would do it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's probably about the same range that I'm in. You know, I just did that same type of trade for Sam Howell. I would want it to be a current second rounder, and kind of same thing for Sam Howell. If it was me, I'd be really nervous to give up either of those guys for, you know, a 2025 second, but definitely, you know, we're in the right range there with a second round pick. Kirk Cousins has less time than Sam Howell does, and so I do feel like second round is about the right range. It's hard to give up a first rounder for a quarterback. It's just you'd have to really, it'd have to be a really elite quarterback to really get a first round pick back for him.
And also with Kirk, like he's been putting up these numbers crazy because he has just Jefferson. Now he's gone.
Yeah.
So it was like every great quarterback really needs an elite receiver. Like an elite receiver, they need one. So for him, he had one. That person's gone. Right. Addison's gonna be great though, but he's not fully there yet. Right, so so that's why I feel like the second round will be the best, and they're probably gonna try to move Kirk if they can too. So you don't know what his situation is gonna become like once they do that.
Yeah.
So.
No, that's a fair point. I don't know that Addison is ready to shoulder the workload, and I don't think KJ Osborne is able to do enough. Or Madison to really be that elite weapon that keeps the chains moving. Okay, so the next guy, CJ Stroud. You know, we talked about what I gave up for Sam Howell. Now CJ Stroud seems to have a kind of a higher trajectory than Sam Howell. But if you compare what they've done so far this season, CJ Stroud is the quarterback 12. Sam Howell is the quarterback 19. Comparing those numbers, there's a 30 point difference, basically a 25 point difference between what the two of them have done. Where does that put you? Where is your feeling on CJ Stroud? Are we still in that second rounder range? I mean, you probably didn't. If you have Sam or if you have CJ Stroud, you probably didn't select him in the first round. He doesn't have a lot of legs, so he's kind of a pocket passer. So that caps his ceiling. You're kind of looking at a year in, year out pocket passer that is back to the top 12 probably.
Yeah.
If he's elite, but you could be talking about 10 years and you're set for life, it feels like, a little bit with him.
That's true. I think a high second round would be good.
Yeah. Yeah, somebody that's struggling right now needs a quarterback long term. Somebody like you, actually.
Yeah, that's me. Yeah, I understand, man. Every quarterback I've started is injured.
Hey, you need a quarterback? You need CJ Stroud? Go get him, man. You're the perfect candidate. Go give up your second round pick next year and get your quarterback of the future. Pair him with Anthony Richardson.
Yeah, I'll be set for 10 years plus.
Yeah, you could play him every other game, or better yet, you could play him whenever Anthony Richardson is injured, which is every other game. So, yeah, I think it's going to work out for you.
Perfectly.
All right, let's talk running backs. This is one guy that I've gotten a lot of heat, or I shouldn't say heat. I've gotten a lot of offers for, and that's DeAndre Swift.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah, so he's really been on fire so far this year. Doing a lot more than we thought he would. He really had he was benched week one, not even benched. He didn't even have to show up for the game. He was a inactive, healthy scratch. And yet here we are 5 weeks in, and where is he? He's the running back 8 on the year, 80 points, running back 8, 10, you know, It's a decent amount of points a game. That's over, you know, if we don't count his 0 point game, and that is not true. Actually, I was wrong. He had one attempt and two targets that first week. I must have been thinking about someone else. Oh, I think it was Rashad Penny that was inactive, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so he had 30 points week two and 15, 17, 15. You know, so he's been steady adding. He's got a tough road ahead of him, but he has two good matchups coming up. Now feels like the right time to sell him, or maybe in two matchups. But if you're not a contender, is now the time to sell him? And how much should, you know, I've got him on some of my teams. I've got him on one team. I'm 0-5. What do I do, Chib? What do I sell him for? What's enough to give him up?
Oh, 2 seconds at least. For me, because the scheme is perfect for how he plays, right? He's in a great system. Like, whoever gets them, you're talking about you're getting a guaranteed almost 15 points a game, right?
Right.
From your running back. Most running backs, like, and you don't have that many elite running backs. So being top eight is fantastic. So I think that you lean on that. You do have very good matchups. You have an amazing O-line in front of him. He's going to eat the rest of the way, right? As long as he stays healthy, he's going to be fine the rest of the way. And so he's somebody who likes to go get touchdowns, right? They'll use him as a third down back. They have to. So, yeah, so I think in that regard, you got to go with whatchamacallit. You got to get, I think, two seconds.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think his market is kind of capped, unfortunately, because he really is on a 1 year deal in Philadelphia. He got dumped. He's mid, you know, he's mid career. So I mean, for dynasty purposes, I'm not quite scared yet for him, but he's about to enter his second contract, even though this is kind of his second contract. It's year four for him, right? So
that's where the downhill comes.
Yeah, it's kind of tough. I actually got offered a first round pick, and I was, you know, obviously that's pretty decent value for where he was at the beginning of the season, but I don't know. I felt like I needed more. I didn't take the first round pick, and probably should have, but you know, I don't know. I think he still holds some value come off season. And I don't know. I think I'd want a first and a little bit more, but I also was a Swiftie coming out and not that kind of Swiftie. So
you talked about him a lot last year when he was with the Lions. I mean, yeah, I think I would have taken the first as well, honestly. But the thing about it is this, let me say this. That 1 year deal that he has, that's a tryout.
Mm-hmm.
That's an audition to put the league on notice that I'm that guy, right? And you're gonna have to pay me. And for me, are the Eagles willing to pay their running back, right? I mean, I think they're looking for team friendly deals. That's why Jalen Hurts deal was so team friendly, right? Are they willing to pay their running back? And maybe they have him on a 1 year deal because it. Like, interests aligned. You want to show off and show you got this. We have an amazing O-line, great offensive schemes. You're going to do well. People love you. You'll get us where we need to go. We'll win a Super Bowl with you, right? Your price tag will go even higher because you're a Super Bowl champion. And then we'll just send you off to the highest bidder. Or not send you off, but you can go to the highest bidder, you know, free, right? Will we re-sign you? No. But then I think about it, a lot of times these Eagles running backs, when they go to a different team, they're busts, right?
Right.
Look at what you call it right now, on Carolina.
Yeah.
So like,
Miles bust. Sanders. Yeah, Miles Sanders.
Right, and so because you need that O line, you need those schemes, right? I mean, even Carolina last year, they had a really great running attack, actually, right? But they fired that coach, let him go, and those schemes are not there. So what do you expect to happen, right? And so, But you would assume it'd be good because what you would call it? Rank had Taylor in his offense, and Taylor was eating, right? Top running back in the league off what he was scheming. So Sanders should theoretically be doing okay, right? But something's clearly off. So other than that, with Swift, I would take that first round pick because he might not be as good as he is next year anyway. Into when we look at the dynasty purposes.
Yeah. No, I think you're onto something. And I'm rethinking, my rejection of that trade, and maybe the guy's still there and willing to do business. Oh yeah, the actual trade is still standing. I didn't actually reject it yet. Maybe I do go and get that. And actually it's an IDP league, so I've got Pete Werner on the other side. He's a linebacker for New Orleans. So I am getting a first plus. It's not necessarily a starting caliber player that I'm getting back, but and it'd be a late first. I guess that's my other thing is, the pick is later in the round. But anyways, I think it's worth moving on. The next guy we have here might be a shorter conversation, but it's more interesting for you, I think, because it's Jeff Wilson. And Jeff Wilson is just about to come back from IR. They opened up his 21-day window earlier this week. So this is week one of three that he could come back. And the coach already said yes, that he's coming back. So he's getting some limited practices in. What do you think Jeff Wilson's value is now, and what do you think it is after he comes back and plays a game with Devon Achane out, right? So he's top two running back on this Miami offense that's so electric.
Yeah, I mean, I think with him, with right now he has no value because he's third, right?
That's clear. Yes.
And Achane is clearly going to take his spot, right? A two-headed running back attack—that's one thing. A three-headed one—I don't have. I've never seen that before, especially when you have such elite wide receivers as well. Like, there's only one ball, right? You can't give it to everybody, so it becomes hard for me to see how they're going to do that. And running backs also need plenty of touches to have rhythm, right? So how are you gonna give three running backs touches, make sure they have rhythm, and make sure receivers again looks too, right? I think it's hard, too many mouths to feed. But with Achane being out, you might be able to still do your two running back attack system, right? Jeff Wilson knows his offense so well, right? This is his offense. In terms of he's been with Mike McDaniels and Shanahan crew, all that stuff, since with the 49ers. And so, for me, once he plays and he shows what he has, his value will be back. And I think you can get up to a second round with him if he plays the way I think he can play, right? If he doesn't, then you're gonna get maybe a third round, right? It's gonna be tough with this one. But I'd say in my situation, I'm gonna wait for him to play, show his worth, right? And then I'm gonna try to trade him later if I was to trade him, right? But if his injury is not as bad and he's looking really good, I might just keep him and not trade him, especially because I have no great running backs, right? So if he, and when I say not as bad, I mean like if he's, let's say the Dolphins want to come off of him, right? He's going to get somewhere and I think he's going to be very good.
Yeah,
Well, depending on the situation.
I think I disagree. I think this is your last shot at getting rid of him. If I'm in your shoes, I'm basically like, okay, I have to get him off my roster for literally whatever anybody will give me as soon as he has a good game. And I will say, I think he's probably going to be capped at like a late two. I do think that's in the realm of possibilities, but I think with Achane coming back, you're probably more likely looking at a third round pick, even as is has the best thing that you can get for him. And I think I'd be happy with that. I think I'd say, okay, yep, absolutely. I'll get a third rounder. He is a guy though that I think, if you trade him to a contender now, I think the savvy contenders might even pay for him before he hits the field, and that might be nice too, because then they feel like they're getting the whole window when Achane is out. That's what I would argue, at least, rather than waiting for him to be good and then losing a, you know, one game basically. So the next guy on the list is Zach Moss. Zach Moss is currently on Indianapolis. Jonathan Taylor's coming back. What do you feel like you can get for the top six running back right now, with Jonathan Taylor coming back?
Oh, I think for sure you can get you should be able to get a late first. A late first, high second, right? Mainly because, for me, just because Jonathan is coming back doesn't mean they're gonna give him the ball every single time, right? I think this year teams really want balance, and they want health. They don't want their teams dying, or players dying and getting injured every single day, right? It's too much. So I really feel like people are trying to spread the ball, spread the responsibility around, you know, keep everybody healthy. There's no way. I just can't see, especially with an Eagles minded coach. I just don't see them having such a great option.
As far as Zach Moss goes, I think that he's only got 1 year left on his contract, which is actually more than I thought before I looked. So he's got another year of relevance. They are paying through the nose now for Jonathan Taylor for the next 4 years. So I don't know that he necessarily has a future per se. And that's what scares me about him. I think we're going to have to see what happens when Jonathan Taylor comes back, to see whether his value really truly holds. But I would trade him now before he really takes a hit. When Jonathan Taylor's truly back, because he had that first game with JT, and so he did amazing. And so, okay, maybe people are convinced that he's still the lead dog, and maybe you go get a first. I would think that, you know, I'd be happy with a second. Our last running back here, keep things moving, is actually Damian Pierce. So he's been a little disappointing so far this year, but I do think he's going to be an interesting guy for moving forward. So I think there's a chance that, you know, we could see some better play out of Damian Pierce, and I would not give Damian Pierce up for less than a first and a second. I do think you could find a person that likes him enough, and based off of last year. I mean, you look at the last three games and they weren't great matchups, and he still scored over 10 points in all three of them. I still think he's got a lot to give. He hasn't even played 60% of the snaps so far this year. And maybe that's part of the problem. He's only had one touchdown on the year. And I think there's a real opportunity for him to get better, especially down the stretch when he's got some better matchups. So Damian Pierce, first and a second, would be the max, or the min that I'd want to give up to give him away, basically. If I was to try to trade for him, I'd be trying to trade, you know, a first or a second, you know, somewhere in that range, maybe 2 seconds. Wide receiver Jordan Addison, God, his value's got to be through the roof. I don't think you're going to be able to find somebody to part with him for less than 2 firsts. And that's what I'd want, honestly, is probably, you know, and even then, you know, you look at it and you're like, Jordan Addison feels like Justin Jefferson when you have him in your hand. It feels like, I've got a little Justin Jefferson. Why the hell would I give it him to you? So,
That's true.
yeah, and it's funny because in some ways he really has only had a couple good games, and they haven't been like breakout. You know, they haven't been world blowing games. So, not like the games our next guy has had, Puka Nacua. So why don't you tell us what you would pay for Puka Nacua? He's been so he's an interesting guy because depending on when you drafted in the rookie drafts and how much attention your league paid to the news, he went undrafted in some rookie drafts. I know in ours he went undrafted. One of the other ones, it was I think the fourth round, and that was an IDP league. And I took Stetson Bennett right before Puka Nacua. Pretty embarrassing right now. Talk to me, Chip. What do you think about Puka Nacua? What could you get? What would you want for him?
Oh, you can easily get two firsts for Puka. Easy. If they're not coming with two firsts in their bid, just block the person. He's like, no, he tripping. Right? Like, this guy's just he's just amazing. Like, and especially in that offense, and he's gonna be in that offense for the next 5 years. Stop playing. Right? Like you gotta come up and do something. So I think two firsts is definitely reasonable for Puka. I mean, I'm not gonna touch him. I don't want Puka. Because I don't want to pay that much for him. But if you are like clearly a team that we're winners, we're going to be fine. I have, capital everywhere. I'm pretty set. You have two firsts to give up. Give up two firsts. They don't have to be two firsts for 2024, right? But you can give up one for 2024, one for 2025, or 2025, 2026, however you see fit. But definitely, yeah. And you're not mortgaging your future going with Puka. That's another thing, right? Because he's gonna like he's a rookie,
Right.
right? He's only gonna get better, get more intelligent, see things better, all that stuff. And yeah, so yeah, two first.
Yeah, and I was just looking because I did see a trade with Puka go through in one of my leagues, and he was traded away for a first this coming year, 2024, a fifth this coming year. It's a weird league where we have it's actually an IDP league, so there's more rounds, and then a 2025 second rounder. So not two firsts quite, not quite two firsts, but a first, a second next year, and then a fifth. And I think I like your what you were saying more. I'd rather get two firsts. If I was trading him away, I don't know that I could have done that trade for a first, a second, and a fifth. That feels a little too light for me.
It does. I'm like whoever got Puka really stole Puka at that point,
The
right?
fun part about this is that trade actually involved one of our listeners. So, shout out to him. He was the one that actually traded Puka away. So. We're calling him out a little
Sorry, bro. Sorry. Yeah, you should have called us first, and we were like, no.
bit.
You stand your ground. You tell I need three firsts.
I will say, I think that somebody actually came out afterwards and said that was ridiculous that he got that much for Puka, which
Was too
is
much.
pretty wild. Yeah. So there's a lot of talk out there. So you. I don't think the Puka managers are the ones that are going to be downplaying his value. I think they're going to
Here's the
be
thing: if you flip the Puka trade into Marvin Harrison Jr., you won.
right. That's a good point. I mean, yeah, it depends what that first becomes. I mean, even getting a first for Puka, you won that trade because what did you pay for Puka?
Nothing.
Yeah, nothing.
Well, a fifth round pick, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. So really not much. So that's yeah, definitely well said. I think Marquise Brown is another guy. He's coming up in a few trades. He's doing pretty well. He's out on the outskirts of the wide receiver 12 range. My thoughts on this, first and a second. What are you feeling?
You talking about Arizona Cardinals Marquise Brown?
Yes, sir.
Person is, I don't know about that. I don't know about that. That I don't even trust the Arizona Cardinals. Oh man, that's tough for me. No, I'll give you 2 seconds. I can give you a first.
Really? You wouldn't
Yeah.
even give up a first. So
No.
you're talking about a player that could be, you know, he's a top 24 wide receiver for the next 3 years.
Yeah. 2 seconds.
Okay.
I know it sounds crazy, but for me, it's like I just don't trust Arizona's situation right now. And I don't know if I'm going to be caught up in it. And I don't know if he's going to stay healthy, right? And I don't know if they're going to get any extra weapons to support him and help him, right? I don't know if Dobbs is going to be the quarterback. There's just too many unknowns for me. Whereas, like, right now he's doing good, but am I a prisoner of the moment, right? Or is this going to be what he is consistently, no matter what?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and it's worth keeping in mind, you know, he doesn't have his starting quarterback, right?
Exactly. And when he had him, he wasn't even doing that great. At least to me, maybe he was. Maybe I don't follow the numbers. Just because
no,
output-wise.
I mean, I don't think he was, he wasn't lighting it up, but I think he still was in that wide receiver 24 range. So I think there's still some range here. He has one more year on his contract. So I stand by my first and a second. I will say DJ Moore, he's been lighting it up recently. He's been winning people weeks. You know, I look at a wide receiver like him, middle of his career, you know, he's probably in that first and possibly a second first range for me.
Yeah, I would agree.
Yeah.
Because it's like what you're saying is so accurate. Like he's one of those players where you'll pay for it because you know what the output's going to be week in and week out, no matter who the matchup is. Like, it doesn't matter who's across from him, he's going to get his, right? And as long as the Bears allow Justin to throw it, you know, and they make that connection, I think that's why it's worthwhile, right? Because on bad teams, he's been elite against everybody, right? And then if you're always coming back, if you're on a bad team, your team's always playing catch up, and you're the wide receiver, you're going to be running down the field, and you're elite. You're going to get the ball targeted to you. You're going to get some catches. It's going to look good. So I can see why. Just situationally, it helps out as well. But even though the team is horrible, situationally, they could potentially do something.
Yeah.
Well, DJ Moore could do stuff. not them.
That's fair. All right. Tight ends, we're going with DJ Moore's partner in crime, Cole Kmet, also on the Bears. He's currently, I believe, top six right now. He's doing really well. He's a relevant tight end. A relevant, not irrelevant. And I don't know. I think he's got a lot of growth in front of him here in Chicago, hopefully with a Justin Fields who is sticking around, maybe. I don't know. I think we have to see a lot more from him for that to be true. So there's some risk there, but again, rookie quarterback might be his best friend. So I think you're close to the top of the second here for Cole Kmet. I don't think you can quite swing a first, but if you know, probably 2 seconds would be nice. What do you think?
Do we draft tight ends in the second round?
You can. Like Sam Laporta was probably a second round pick. That being said,
like, it must have been a really weak draft.
That being said, those tight ends are some of the best that we've seen coming out. So tight ends went really high this year. in rookie drafts. So
I mean, I guess for me, how I see it, first of all, I think that the Bears are going to try to trade away Justin Fields. That's number one. And I think I believe it makes sense for them to do that. Not because Justin Fields is bad, you know, but because if someone, I heard, I'm not making this argument because it's my genius thought. No, I heard someone else make this argument. And I was like, yeah, that actually makes a lot of sense. If you can find that Justin Fields can be a great quarterback who can lead a franchise, right? Poise, he's seen the field better, all that stuff. Great. But in about a year or two, his contract is going to be coming up. They're going to have to pay the guy, right? If I can flip Justin and get myself a first and a second in real life, right? If I get a first and a second in real life right now, and I trade him away, and then I get, and my team is so bad, we get like the second pick of the draft this year. And then Carolina being so bad, we're going to get the first pick of the draft because we have their first round draft rights, right? So we're going to get the one and the two, right? And we might potentially get a third one in the first round, depending on the trade that we pull off, right? If you do that, you can get your quarterback of the future. You can get Marvin Harrison Jr. and you can get a great lineman, right? Offensive lineman who you can insert immediately to protect that quarterback of the future. Right. And so with that being said, you can actually set your future up through this next draft. Right. Think about Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison Jr. on one side, DJ Moore on the other side. Like, you can set your future up through this draft. So I believe they might get rid of Justin Fields because of that. If they do get rid of Justin Fields, right, and they're able to flip Justin into a first and another two first round picks, whatever, and you know, do what they need to do and secure their future, I believe Cole Kmet becomes a big part of the future. So if you were trading Cole Kmet now, not only do I think he'll do well now because they're trying to show off Justin and what he can do and potentially trade him away and get value for him, right? Cole Kmet has to be part of that equation. That's one. If they are successful in this endeavor and they trade Justin away and they get what they want in the first round, X, Y, and Z, all that stuff, Cole Kmet still has to be part of that future, right? So in both scenarios, he's part of the future. He's part of the equation of success. So I think a second round would be fair based on that situation. I had to talk myself into it, but it makes sense. So that's why I would agree with you on the second round.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hard to remember too at the tight end position that though they score a lot less, to have an advantage where you got a starter week in, week out is huge. So, you know, that being said, it doesn't take much to get that guy. It's just that you have to play your cards right throughout the season, playing the matchups with just no name tight ends, which, you know, one of those, it's a little rude of me to say no name tight ends because Hunter Henry was quite a name when he came out and was quite a prospect. And we've just been waiting forever for him to really pop. He finally did in the first couple of weeks of the season. He was the number one tight end for a week or two. He's dropped down below that. I think he's still in the top 12 right now, but I think we're probably in the two range for Hunter Henry as well in New England. And I think that has more to do with the scheme too and how he's used. But tell me, what are your thoughts on that? He's a little bit longer in the tooth than Cole Kmet. So you don't have him as many years, but you're definitely, like, if you're looking at a 5-year window for both of these guys, they're definitely both going to be in the league for 5 years.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. With Henry, it's hard for me to talk about him because he's on my team and he's not really doing what I need him to do. But then again, he's also on the Patriots and they're not really doing anything this year. So, so it's like, I'm asking myself, is it a situational issue? Right? Or is it a Hunter Henry issue? Because historically, Patriots have done well when it came to picking tight ends, right? But the well, actually, no, let me take that back. Let me take that back
They
because
picked two tight ends and neither of them are, I think Devin Asiasi and whoever his running mate was.
yeah, and they had Marcellus Bennett 1 year, and
Yep.
that was a horrible situation for Marcellus, right? And the only person that actually thrived in the Patriot system has been Gronk, right?
Well,
And with
and Gronk and
you're right, but these are two. Well, if you think about it, these are two psychotic human beings. It's you know, in different ways, in different ways, right? Who the way they move, which is a little bit different. Like I was just listening about how Gronk never watched film, like he just didn't do it, right?
That's
But
wild.
the only thing that motivated him was when someone would tell, like I, it was a was it Eckler? No, not Eckler. Was it Eckler that was talking about this? No, not Eckler. I think it was Eckler. No, not Eckler. I'm thinking about the wrong person. He was a short. He's on the Patriots. Short, almost like a slot receiver. Hunts like
Oh, Julian Edelman.
Edelman. Edelman was talking about it. He said, "Yeah, I would just go to Gronk and be like, hey man, you know, what you call it? Say you trash a tight end, like someone from the other team, and that would just get him fired up, and he would just need to see a couple plays, and he knows what to do." Right? And he said, and then Gronk was said, yeah, I completely knew he was lying about it, but I just assumed he was telling the truth just to kind of get myself in the game. Right? And that's all it was. He just tell him a lie, you know, and he ran on that lie and then he did great. So just two psychotic people that what's it called? That I don't want to say that just play the game their own way. Hunter Henry, I don't think has that same energy, right? To just buck
Yeah.
the system, you know, tell Mac Jones, throw me the ball and get out the way. Like, I don't think he has that energy, right? And with that being said, that might be why he doesn't thrive in the system. So
Right.
I'm gonna blame the system, right? And but I'm gonna say I don't know. Do you know how long his contract is?
Hunter Henry.
Yeah.
I didn't pull it up, but I do think it's multi-year.
Let me pull it up real quick. 3-year contract with
Yep.
Patriots. Right. $25 million guaranteed. $15 million signing bonus. Yep. So yeah, I don't trust him. If I was to trade him right now, I mean, the most I think you can get with him is a third round pick.
Yeah. So, all right. So, third round pick, you're saying?
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. All right. Let's talk about Sam Laporta's value. By the way, I did do. I'm cutting myself off. Cole Kmet, by the way, is the third best tight end on the season so far. Just wanted to fact check that. Hunter Henry, ninth best. So they're both up there. So despite how horrible Hunter Henry has been, he's better than almost every other tight end other than eight guys, which tells you something about the tight end position.
Patriots, or tell you something about the Patriots.
Yeah, true, that too. But let's talk about Sam Laporta, who's the number one tight end right now, a rookie. Would you give him to me if I offered you two first round picks?
Yes.
Yeah. Absolutely. What about one first round pick?
Yes.
What about a second round pick?
I guess it depends on the year of the draft.
Yeah, I mean, okay, this is kind of my take. You could wrench Sam Laporta out of my cold dead hands. If I drafted him, I want you to pay through the fucking nose. Ah, crap. I'm gonna have
My
to
car
check.
keys, here's my house, here's my wife, here's
Yeah,
everything.
I'm gonna have to hit that what is it? Explicit button on this podcast, aren't I? Dang it. I usually don't have to. And I might be insane for that, but like if I hit on Sam Laporta, you're gonna, you know, I think I found gold, and I have 10 years of a you know, the next Travis Kelce right now. Right now, that's what I see in visions in the sky with Sam Laporta. So you give me two first round picks or go back home. Maybe three. Maybe we start the bids at three.
That's a big statement, even though the tight end position is completely garbage. But I guess the question becomes, how, what's his, what is he scoring per game?
But that's the thing, is that the advantage of a tight end who, and I'll pull up that. I'll actually answer your question. Here,
Because
going
I
to.
can understand it, because if he's scoring receiver numbers, as a tight end, then you're completely correct.
Yeah, if exactly like you, with what you usually get out of Travis Kelce, if you're getting that out of Sam Laporta, that's great. Taking a look here, I'm scrolling. All right, Sam Laporta is the 37th best flex player on the year. So you want me to read off a list of names that he's scored more points than so far? All
Yeah, do it.
right, Tank Dell, not saying great. CeeDee Lamb, Jacoby Myers, Alexander Mattison, Christian Kirk, Calvin Ridley, Tutu Atwell, Devonta Smith, Amon-Ra St. Brown. Now he's been injured. Jordan Addison, Chris Olave, Garrett Wilson, Michael Pittman, Dameon Pierce, Zay Flowers. I probably shouldn't keep going, so DK Metcalf. There you go. Hit you right in the heart. So, you know, and he's, so to give you an idea, I lost him. There he is, 37. He's scoring. He's got two games over 10 points. That's what it takes. Two games over 10 points. Those two games, 20 points and 18 points. So, and no game under 6 points. So high floor, decently high ceiling, you know, and every single week out of that, other than 1 week, has been a top 12 tight end week. So yeah, that's my thoughts. I think out of my cold dead hands. So that just about wraps us up, but I do have one question for you, Dr. Chibb. It's a potential live trade here. So are you ready?
Do it.
All right. DeAndre Swift. So I would be giving up DeAndre Swift. I would be getting in exchange Zach Charbonnet and Will Anderson. So this is an IDP league, which kind of screws with you a little bit. But Zach Anderson is defensive line eligible. He's a linebacker. He's got three startable games so far. Only one game where I'm really happy with his score. But he's on Houston, an up-and-coming team, up-and-coming defense. This guy freaking blocked a field goal last week or 2 week, whatever. There's not a lot of updates. This is 17 days ago he blocked a field goal. It's a while ago. What do you think? Zach Charbonnet, Will Anderson for DeAndre Swift.
That's tough. That's tough. The Will Anderson part makes a lot of sense. I think that's really valuable. Because he's only gonna get better. He's being coached again by a defensive coach. The defense is really his team, his defense. So he's gonna be the star of that defense completely. Versus DeAndre Swift, he's not the star of the offense, right, in any capacity, nor like the offensive captain. And he was only there for one year, and I think he will only be there for 1 year.
Whereas next year is going to be Zach Charbonnet's better year.
Yeah, exactly.
What if we were talking just Zach Charbonnet for DeAndre
No,
Swift straight up?
I wouldn't do it at this point, no.
No, he hasn't shown enough.
Not enough.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree. And which is interesting because you look at what a first round pick is. Zach Charbonnet would have been an early first round pick, which is why I'd be so scared to give up Swift for only a first rounder, because I could get Zach Charbonnet. But you know, right now, if you get Zach Charbonnet, you probably get another, you get a pretty good player, hopefully, next year. And I don't think what we've gotten out of Zach Charbonnet is fully out of the realm of what we've expected. We kind of thought that Seattle would take their time with him, as they like to do with rookies. So, I don't know.
Exactly. Yeah. That makes sense for them to do that. You know, work them in, take it easy. And then, and most likely later in the year, he'll hit. Because that's what happened with Kenneth Walker, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't hit last year from day one. He hit kind of like almost the midway mark of a season. Right when that's when they start letting him loose, let him do a little bit more X, Y, and Z. So I thought that's what's gonna happen with Charbonnet. So that's not a bad trade. That's not a bad trade. I guess the thing is, do you think you're gonna have a piece where you could flip that piece later for something else if you wanted to?
Huh? Do I feel like I? Yeah. I mean, you're talking like with Zach Charbonnet,
Or Will Anderson, or I forgot the other guy you said.
It's just the two of them.
Okay, yeah. So I mean,
yeah.
I feel like I mean, yeah. I mean, I guess that's not a bad trade because you're 0-5 right now, right? You said.
Yeah, I'm 0-5. The guy I'd be trading for two would be 4-1. So I understand why he wants to trade. I tried to throw a second rounder in there to see if I could get that.
That made me more comfortable.
Yeah,
you got that
me,
second rounder.
Me too. You know, what about a third round? You know, counter with the third rounder.
No, what? Counter with a second round and then see what happens.
I already did. He already rejected that.
Oh, okay. Then anyone else offer you anything?
I have the first round pick and Pete Werner, who's kind of he's a linebacker, but he's kind of a dime a dozen sort of guy at linebacker. So, you know, again, I could jump on that first round pick, or I could get a first round pick from last year and Will Anderson, who could be, you know, one of the best defensive players, you know, this, you know, moving forward. It's interesting.
It makes a lot of sense. Okay.
And there's not a lot of, he doesn't have a lot of youth in terms of like, guys that, you know, there's CJ Stroud. It's a one quarterback league. CJ Stroud would be interesting. But I think his value's too high. Like, and I already have it's not saying much, but I have Daniel Jones and Kyler Murray, you know, so, which means I'm starting Daniel Jones right now and it's a bumpy ride. Now you know why I'm 0-5.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Wow.
I wonder if I try to get CJ Stroud and give him Daniel Jones, see if that's doable. Instead of the third rounder, go with a CJ Stroud, Daniel Jones flip, because he's already got, he's got Kirk Cousins and Trey Lance. So, you know, then he'd be flying with Daniel Jones and Kirk Cousins. That might not sit well with him. Let's see what he says.
Okay.
I mean, a lot of, I will say a lot of trade calculators are saying that Daniel Jones is worth more than CJ Stroud right now. Or actually, sorry, that was Sam Howell. More than Sam Howell right now, which is interesting. It definitely
Sam can run.
Yeah. Well, and that's the thing though. Daniel Jones can too. Oh, he's typing. Let's see what we got. See if we got a bite. I think with it as a Texan. Oh God, he's a Texans fan. Wow. Oh yeah, I just saw. I'm trying to steal two Texans guys from him. That's painful. I don't know why he'd even give me Will Anderson.
Yeah, look, he's not that big of a fan. I would never do that.
Yeah, that's wild. All right, we gotta go back to the drawing board. We're not getting
Oh my,
CJ
what do
Stroud.
you say?
He's not giving CJ Stroud. He's a Texans fan. All right,
I'm
all right.
sorry.
All right, I'm going a third and a fourth.
Okay, do it. Question, are you going to be watching the game tonight?
Yeah, gonna try probably about 10 minutes, right? I know. I'm really screwing us up. We could be done right now. But this is a great podcast
Let's
work.
do it. I want to see what happens. Let's do this thing live.
Yeah.
Tell
Oh
him.
no. Oh no. He's out. He's like totally not. He's like, crap, I don't even want to give up Will Anderson.
Oh, is that what you asked him?
Well, I didn't ask him, but you know, this trade still has Will Anderson in it, and he's double guessing himself. He's nervous about giving up Will Anderson.
Oh.
You know, he's playing like you, Chib. He doesn't want to give up his home guys.
I don't.
So
I
the
sure
last
don't.
message I have from him is He's thinking. See what we get back. I'm gonna tell my mom a podcast.
Tell him my podcast is currently featuring this live trade. We're gonna get this thing done today.
Yeah, I'm letting them know that I have another offer out there. All right. I don't wanna keep us anymore. He's not seeing my text. I think he's taking a breather. So we'll have to wait until next time to try to get a live on the air podcast trade. But you know, we'll let you know how this one went if we get any movement. So anyways, that'll wrap us up for this week.
Okay, that sounds good. excuse me.
You want me to say your part?
Look, I'm like, what's that? How do I end this thing again?
This is where you say thank you everyone for joining us. Next week we're
there
talking
we
week seven. And
thank you everybody for joining us. Next week we are talking week seven. All right.
I might just keep in the part where you said what
I'll
I
do,
just said.
I'll do your part. Like, please reach out to us on Instagram or Twitter. Follow us and message us on Instagram at Blue Collar Dynasty, where you can get sneak previews of the things to come. On Twitter, it's at Born Football. That's Borne Football. We'd love to hear from you. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the podcast wherever you listen. That's your weekly podcast. Don't forget, y'all, choose happiness and spread love.